This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.
Chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Look at those new Bible covers. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to give it to you. Now, the way to find it, for those of you who are just getting started, find red letters. Just start looking for red letters. And if your Bible doesn't have red letters, that's too bad. I don't know what you're going to do then. Find Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 1. We'll start there. Luke 11. Verse 1. Page 1601 in the Good Bible. Right, Tim? There you go. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Got it? Everybody there. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, we said it, didn't we? We already talked about it. When he was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of the disciples says, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Lord, teach us to pray. Underline the phrase. Teach us to pray. This is not how to pray. This is not how many times to pray. This is not what posture to pray. I've had classes. I've had classes and stuff where people taught you the formula for prayer. I read a book about the power of positive praying. And the whole book was about saying the right phrases to God. That if you said these right phrases, then God would have to answer your prayer the way you wanted to. Okay, I didn't write the book, and I don't agree with the book. This is not about that. I also was in classes about the eight stages or steps to prayer. And it was lined out in the formula that you said this first, and then you said this first, and then you said this first. And I'm sorry that there's a lot of good things about prayer in that particular study. But Jesus, when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they were not asking about how to pray. They were asking, "Lord, teach us to pray like you pray." We've discussed it. He prayed lots of different places, lots of different times, lots of different ways. And here he teaches them this prayer. Then he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day your daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Now stop a second. I read that from Luke 11, and those of you who've been Bible students a while or have gone to church any time in the past, your first thought was, that doesn't sound like the prayer I memorized. What you're remembering is a prayer that Jesus used and prayed in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he prayed. It was the prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, and it's interesting, we call it the Lord's Prayer because it's the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, but it's not the prayer Jesus would pray because he didn't have any sins to forgive. It was a prayer he was teaching us to pray, so maybe it ought to be called the Disciples' Prayer. But just since we've all known that, let's say it together, okay? Now, I understand there's going to be some different versions. I grew up hearing it in the King James Version. Some of you grew up hearing it in a different church, in different words. We're going to get the main thought of it. Let's say it together so at least we've got an idea of what we're talking about. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Jesus said, they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And he said, "Here's how you pray. You pray to God as a son. You pray to God as a child. You call him your father. And in that text, you use the word that is the most familiar name of father. Abba, Father. It would what we would call, it's that the pet name for your father. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name." In other words, it's respectful. This is not a glib thing. This is a respectful thing. Pray as a son. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And then, but you also pray as a servant. You want to pray not just as a son that asks anything and everything. You want to pray as a servant that's willing. He says, you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hang on a second. How is the will of God done in heaven? Whatever you fill in the blank with is how He wants it done. So you're praying, Lord, I want Your will to be done on earth like it's done in heaven. If it's done immediately in heaven, if it's done right now in heaven, if it's done by everybody, You want it done the same way here. So you're praying, God, I want to be Your servant. I want Your will to be done in my life. I want to be Your servant. And then I want You to take care of me. So I need that daily bread. But you also, you pray as a son, you pray as a servant, you also want to pray as a sinner. I don't know how I learned it this way, why I learned it this way. I did not learn it at home this way. In fact, it was my home raising that helped me through what I was hearing at church or what I thought I was learning at church. I learned at church that somehow if you prayed personal things, if you prayed personally to God, then it was selfish. Folks, that's not true. Prayer is meant to be a personal thing. Pray this prayer. Forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me my debts. Forgive me my sins. That's a personal issue, isn't it? That's me saying to God, I messed up. It's not about us saying, Lord, bless everybody else, not me. No, I'm the one that needs this forgiveness. Now, you may need it as well, but if you need it, then you ask for it, because I got to ask for me. And then I'll only ask God to forgive me, but maybe I need to be asking God to help me forgive someone else. Most of y'all don't have any trouble with that kind of thing, but once in a while I struggle with it. I have trouble struggling with that, forgiving what others have done to me. Here's the point. I want God to take away my sins, and I want God to help me be just like Jesus. I don't want to be led into temptation. I want to be delivered from evil. So, Lord, teach us to pray. He wanted them to pray as sons. He wanted them to pray as servants. And He wanted to pray as sinners. That's not the point of the lesson today. What I want you to see is what Jesus says to them after He teaches them the prayer. We know the prayer. We quoted it. There are songs in our songbook. If we knew them, we could sing it. So we quote the prayer, we sing the prayer. I hope now and again we will intentionally pray the prayer. But their idea was, Lord, teach us to pray. And He taught them these words and then said to them, verse 5, you with me? Now we read. Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God bless the reading of His Word. We just asked Jesus, like these disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And He taught us the same thing that He taught those disciples. And if I'll hear Him, I'll learn to pray. I'll learn to pray like He did. And here's what He said to them. He said, understand, you ask for what you want. Do you see it? What does the friend ask for? He asks for bread. Does it matter what time of day it is? No. In fact, we sometimes will stop asking somebody. And it's not a bad thing when it's, you know, if I think, man, I need to call Lynn about something. I look at the clock. I've been with him on trips. You don't call him after 9 o'clock. Pumpkinitis has set in. You're not going to get much out of him after 9. And the older I get, I'm the same way. If I need to ask my mother and dad something, I look at the clock. If it's past 4:30, I know. They're having supper. And they're going, I'm getting close the same way. I'm telling you, notice the time. Why would you ask your friend for bread if it was at midnight?
Because you
trust him. Okay, both. You've got to have it, and you trust him as your friend. You're desperate for it. So in my life, when there are things that I am desperate for, what do? I ask. He is teaching us to ask him. Now, does the man, I love this, the door is already locked. I love the fact that the man actually says, don't bother me. Because that to us, we would never tell anybody that. Now we would go ahead and help them, and then we would say later, I can't believe they bothered me. We'd gripe about it afterwards. But he says, don't bother me. The door's locked. Look at this. My children are in bed with me. Now stop a second. Think a second. If you've got that baby down, asleep, in bed with you, what's the last thing you want to do? You do not want to get up and disturb that baby. Why? Because that bread is going to cause you hours of trying to get that baby back to sleep, right? He didn't want to get up. I've got no problem with this. But look what he says. He will not give him bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Underline that word, boldness. You know what that means? Trust enough. I mean, your children do not, I doubt that your children have any trouble at all coming into your room in the middle of the night to ask you for things. Right? There are stories we could tell if we wanted to. Couldn't we? Children, yes, of mine. Yes. I've got children on both sides of the world here today, and I could tell you that stories about... Again, that's not a problem. You expect that from your children. Now, after they're 25 or 30 or 40, you want them to change. That doesn't change, and which is good. What? Or 60. Yeah, here you go. Ooh, let's not start that. All right, now. Underline it. That my idea of boldness is having the confidence that a child would have. They don't think in terms of, man, this is not, this too late, or this, it's something I've got to ask, so you just ask. That's the kind of attitude he wants us to have toward God. Do you need something? Do you want something? Ask God. Ask him. And it immediately after that, I want you to look at verse 9, because we're going to memorize verse 9 today. Now, a bunch of us that have gone to church all our lives already know it, but there's some of us that are just now getting started. I want us to underline that verse. I want you to underline this verse. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Okay? I'm going to start it. You finish it. I'm going to say, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Say it again. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. One more time. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, door will be open. Is that a promise from God? Look at it. Verse 10. For everyone who asks, tell me the word. Everyone who asks, say it. Receives. He who seeks, finds. And he to him who knocks, doors open. I'll underline it, y'all. If you ask, what happens? It'll be given to you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, there'll be. Now, you and I don't need to worry about this. I know just enough about this to be dangerous, but you know what those verbs are in the original language? They are all, they're constant. It's you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. You keep letting God know what you want. You keep letting God know what you need. You keep letting God know what you think you need. understanding that God will, as a father, do what's best for you.
In the Bible, I don't know where in the Bible that I know I did. It's not right to beg, though, right? Or to like...
To beg God?
Yeah.
Yes, it's right to beg God. Yeah, when you get to Luke 18, we'll study that again. You can ask God... Well, tell me, should you ask?
Yes.
Should you seek?
Yes.
Should you knock?
Yes.
How long?
Until you
receive, until you find, until the door opens. Now, does that mean you have to even if you change your mind? No. If you keep asking that fella for bread and he won't give you bread, and the next door neighbor says, listen, come over here, buddy, I'll give you some, because I'm tired of you waking me up too. Do you keep asking that neighbor for bread if you already got the bread? No. And the point is, you keep asking until you receive. You keep seeking till you find, and you keep knocking till that door is opened. Now, he ends this text, and we're finished. He ends this teaching about praying by appealing to our own natures. Fathers, and especially this time of year is perfect time to discuss this. You can be struggling with bills. You can be worried sick about how to pay your bills. But because it's, quote, Christmas time, what are you bound and determined to do? You're going to buy your kids presents, aren't you? You may not have money for food, but you think, I got to get them Christmas. I don't know that I can pay the rent, but boy, I got to have them, give them Christmas. Now, I think we got some priorities out of whack there. And I'm holding my hand up, okay? I'm holding my hand up first and foremost. But it's the idea of a father. If your son needs bread, needs fish, needs food, what do you give him? What's our nature? Our nature is to give him what he wants, give him what he needs. So if he asks for a fish, you don't give him a snake. It's just unheard of. So if he asks for... If he asks for an egg, what is it, an egg?
An egg?
An egg. If he asks for an egg, what do you give him? A scorpion? I wouldn't touch a scorpion anyway, so I'm safe there. The point is, fathers don't treat their sons that way, right?
No.
Would God, if we won't treat our sons that way, would God treat us that way? No. Jesus will teach this same lesson in another gospel, in Matthew, and he'll say it this way. If you, then, earthly fathers, being evil... will give good things to your sons, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is good, give good things to you? See the point? We ask our fathers for things, expecting them to give us what we want, give us what we need. What should we do with our Heavenly Father? The same. We just have to ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. One more time, ask, seek, knock. And you ask until you receive. You seek until you find, and you knock until the door's open. You don't quit asking, seeking, knocking. Now, in this text, it's interesting. It said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him? Oh, there's all kinds of discussions we could have about that. For us, just getting started, folks, do you want God's Spirit in your life? Do you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Now, the promise from God is, once you obeyed Jesus, once you confessed your faith in Jesus and you were baptized into Jesus, you received the Spirit. Bible says it. Some of you could tell me where it says that. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says it. It's a promise from God, whether you understood it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you can explain it or not. When you repented of your sins and were baptized, your sins were forgiven and you received a gift from God, the gift of the Spirit. But this is something different than that. This is something from God about the Spirit. I believe, he's saying, if you ask the Holy Spirit of Him, He'll give. He means those things that come from the Spirit, the benefit of the Spirit. Lots of things to benefit the Spirit. But maybe if I ask Him, God will help me have peace and patience and self-control and love and faithfulness and gentleness. the fruit of the Spirit. So what do? Ask, seek, knock. We're going to remember Jesus now. We're going to remember His body and we're going to remember His blood. We're going to remember that by remembering His body, we're going to remember what He did for us. And when we remember His blood, we're going to remember that blood washed away our sins. We do that every Sunday, and we talk about it almost every Sunday about why this is important. What I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you, while you're examining yourself, while you're remembering Jesus, while you're doing what Jesus wants you to do, I want you to be also looking in your heart for that thing from God that you want, that you need. And I'll clarify it again, but we're not talking about aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, mamas and dads. No. From your heart, what does your heart need from God? And then when we've remembered Him, we'll take some time and we're gonna finish this year together. We're going to finish asking God, seeking God, knocking on the door with God until we receive, find, and the door opens. Okay? Let's remember Jesus now.